Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Livewire, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Hope everyone had a very happy Labor Day weekend. Tonight's show was taped last Friday, so we'll be discussing the NWSL title match between the Western New York Flash and the Portland Thorns on next week's live show. We do have a lot to talk about on tonight's show. Well, our special guest will be the senior director of the USL Pro League and the MISL, Chris Economides. We're also spending lots of time previewing this coming weekend's World Cup qualifying matches with Dick Howard and Michael Lewis. So let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, and we'll have all the latest information on World Cup qualifying next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at Soccer is a Kick in the grass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsford United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsford, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Rhinos players, staff, and front office would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during the 2013 season at Salen Stadium and for the last 18 years. 2014 Rhinos season ticket information is available by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK. Check out the Rhinos website at rhinosoccer.com during the off-season for the latest news and information about the team. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer in 2014.
Score big with Salen's. Salen's is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salen's delicious real smokehouse ham or Salen's mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salen's deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salen's.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Cooge, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Common in Pittsburgh. Call 248-2650 or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. This Friday, the United States against Costa Rica in World Cup qualifying. When you go out to the bars, the clubs, or at home, wherever you're going to watch the match, make sure you get your U.S. soccer gear at Top Notch Monogramming. Tony's a big supporter of the U.S. national team. He'll be there next weekend or next week for Mexico, U.S., and Columbus. So get your gear at Top Notch Monogramming. If you mention soccer is a kick in the grass, they'll give you a 10% discount. Dick, good evening. How are you?
Great, and still, that's a great discount, 10%. Just mentioning the names of yourself and Joe, right? It works wonders.
Exactly. So
no,
here we are.
It's crunch time around the world with World Cup qualifying now, sort of the final stages in some regional confederations, and of course in Europe, lots of exciting games to look forward to.
That's right. Well, we got a lot to talk about. So the first thing I want to mention, the countries have already qualified. We already have Brazil, obviously, in as the hosts. We have Iran, South Korea, and Japan, and Australia. Joe, very happy about Australia being back in the World Cup.
Yeah.
But Asia has one more big qualifying to go through. It is Jordan against Uzbekistan. First match on Friday in Jordan, and the second match in Uzbekistan next week. The winner of that, though, has to play the fifth-place team from South America. And, Dick, I think whoever comes out of South America is going to be a heavy favorite to beat either Jordan or Uzbekistan.
Yeah, well, I think it's Uruguay in that spot at the moment, and they're battling with Venezuela for that fifth spot. But I think it'll be a little bit too much. It would be great to see Jordan and Uzbekistan in the very first World Cup final, but I'd rather see, I think Venezuela has shown such great strides in recent years that it'd be really great for football in that country if they could qualify. But it remains to be seen. There's still a ways to go, but it is still great that countries of this nature have got to the final playoff stages. I think it says a lot for the quality of football in both Jordan and Uzbekistan.
Well, certainly, the small country, they really got a lot of, they got a lot to prove. But
we mention all the time, Joe, don't we? It's incredible when that happens. But then you look at some of the national team players, and they're playing in Europe or they're playing at the top levels. And when they come back, there's tremendous pride because they are doing well in or outside their own country. They come back, they're almost national heroes. And it certainly raises the level of the game. And I think it's just tremendous. And we've got several David and Goliath scenarios coming up around the world with countries that, don't usually figure. And I think of the Cape Verde Islands in Group B in Africa, David and Goliath against mighty Tunisia, and then with a chance. But obviously, you're looking at Europe, Joe, and Andrew, I'm sure that you're looking at some of your Chelsea players playing for European country. So let's get into Europe.
Okay, let's talk about first group. Well, there's a lot of different group situations. Start with Group A. Belgium and Croatia are way above the crowd in that group. It's really who finishes first, who finishes second. Belgium currently on 19 points, Croatia on 16. Croatia and Serbia play. Boy, I just want to see that because it's a war, as we know from the Rochester Lancers days, Joe.
I'll tell you one thing. I think the partisan politics and fans are going to have a tremendous effect on those two games.
But I mean, Serbia very disappointing though in this. They're pretty much out of it, but they will certainly want to beat their rivals. And Belgium had a tough match. They have to go to Hampden Park against Scotland. So both the top two teams on the road.
Yeah, I think certainly all eyes will be on Belgrade for the Croatian visit to Serbia. They behaved themselves exceptionally well in the last game. I was delighted, the two coaches respecting one another, and hopefully that respect will continue, because you certainly don't need any incidents off the field. Great for Belgium, isn't it? You know, one of the rising countries in Europe. Not going to be easy. You know, the Scots are always proud when they put on that blue jersey, but Belgium, I think, are one of these outsiders that could cause some problems in the World Cup in Brazil. They've got some outstanding players playing, especially in the Premiership. So the battle for the top spot, I think you could look at Belgium and Croatia accompanying them.
Certainly. And then Group B, Joe will be very glued to his television. A huge match. Italy, top team in the group, against number two, Bulgaria. Both teams are without a loss, and it's in the Stadio Barbera. Where is that located, Joe?
Stadio Barbera, it's in below Naples.
So that's where they're going to be playing that match in Group B. So, Joe, what do you think? You think Italy's got a...
Well, let me say...
pretty much qualified.
Let me say that according to the Italian news, Italy should be a shoe-in. But they're also very cautious because, going into this game, it means a lot for the preparation for Brazil. And it's going to have a big effect. So I think that Italy is going to have a tough game. But I'm hoping and praying that, they're going to qualify.
Oh, you don't need to hope and pray, Joe. Italy are through, and I think they'll consolidate it. I think they'll have a convincing win. And then it's the battle for the second spot, of course. And as we know, the top eight second-place teams go into a playoff format to play against each other. And it could well be that the Czech Republic move into that second spot with a win, because they've got a relatively easy game against Armenia. So I think it's the battle for the second spot in Group B. Don't worry about the Azzurri, Joe. They'll go through. They're always in the World Cup, whether they're not winning, but they are always there.
I
hope you're right, Dick.
Well, like you said, Czech Republic, if they can win, Italy wins. Czech Republic goes into second place, but again, there's still a lot of matches left in Europe. Group C,
yeah.
I think, is that's the group with the biggest competition right now. Germany certainly... That's the group of death. Germany will certainly get through, but it's second place. Austria, Sweden, and Ireland all tied on 11 points. Austria plays Germany, and Ireland hosts Sweden. Boy, you couldn't ask for bigger matches in that group, Dick.
No, it's the battle for the second spot, isn't it? Germany, of course, we know that they're in a very dominant position. But that Sweden-Republic of Ireland game in Dublin, Robbie Keane, I'm sure that long journey from Los Angeles. But again, when we talk about players with pride that they put on the national jersey, and the Republic of Ireland certainly could well be favored for that game.
That's going to be a tough one. Group D, really, again, the Netherlands are undefeated. They're going to go through, which certainly is the top seed. Hungary has to go to Romania, the battle of numbers 2 and 3. If Romania wins, they move into second place. So that's a huge match in Group D. We had Christian Chivu on the show not too long ago. He's certainly Romanian international. We'll be looking at that match.
Yeah, and certainly you might give a home edge there with the Romanians, because often in games of this nature, if you can get that 12th man behind you, and this is the battle for number two, so it's really a key game.
Absolutely. Group E, maybe the good, they call that one the group of the dead, I guess. Switzerland,
yeah,
certainly.
Nice. How can you say that? How can you say that about Switzerland?
Well, Switzerland certainly undefeated. They probably will go through, but boy, you've got Albania and Iceland, 2 and 3, two teams that have never qualified for the World Cup. So those, and there's some big matches coming up with them. Albania has to go to Slovenia, and Iceland has to go to Switzerland. So that group really is wide open right now for second place. Norway right there too.
The Swiss will be on a high, of course. That great win over Brazil recently certainly boosted everybody, and I can see them coming through there. And who knows, Norway could well move into that number two spot if they with a win over Cyprus. So we shall see, but certainly Switzerland have impressed in recent months, and it looks likely that they will go through as the number one team.
Group F, we have Portugal. They do have a match in hand, however, or actually Russia and Israel have a match in hand on Portugal. Portugal on 14 points, Russia 12, Israel right there with 11 points. So that, again, Israel, that would be something to see if Israel could qualify for their first World Cup. Joe's shaking his head over there.
No, it's really, I would like to see Israel and fight, to go to Brazil, because I think they deserve it. I think that it will be an interesting political kind of thing, you know, that the tables are pretty well set.
The other thing, of course, when we talk about upset results, and this one slipped by because it was the only game being played, I think, on that day, with that Northern Ireland's recent win over Russia, that 1-0 win, where it was really threw everything up, because everybody was expecting Russia to have an easy win on that occasion, and it wasn't the case. So it's still going to be very interesting.
Of course, Russia hosting
Portugal,
the next
of course,
World
are the
Cup.
Ones that you'd fancy, but again, they're visiting Belfast, so can Cristiano Ronaldo and company get a result where Russia couldn't?
That's right. So that group still, again, with these, there's a lot of matches left in Europe. So Group G, Bosnia, the team the United States just beat recently, they're on top of that group. Greece is in second. They're pretty much ahead of the field in that one. Bosnia has a match on the road against Slovakia. Actually, they're home against Slovakia. Greece has to go to Liechtenstein. That should be pretty straightforward, though, for the Greeks, I would imagine. But Group H, boy, England's right now behind Montenegro, but Montenegro does have played one more match than England, and Ukraine right there with 11 points. And the Poles, we can't forget about them. They're on 9 points. They host Montenegro. If they can get a win, they're right back in it.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of concern in England at the present time. I don't foresee them having any problems against Moldova in their opening game. Although, as we saw in the game against Scotland, there's still some areas that are causing concern, I'm sure, for Roy Hodgson and his staff. But they should have no problems there. And I don't think within the group, I still fancy him to come out on top. The big game, of course, is the Poland game against Montenegro. But the Ukraine, you know, they have a relatively easy game against San Marino, so they could come into contention. So I think it's more a battle for the second spot in Group H.
Now, if San Marino scores a goal, I think that'll be the upset of the century. They have not scored yet.
Yeah.
The tiny little country bordered all around by Italy. But of course, Bonini used to play for Juventus as a San Marino international.
Well,
famous player.
Say no more, right, Joe?
Yes. And, of course, the last group, Spain and France, they're the class of that group, both on the road, but really it's going to be a battle between the two for first place or second place in Group I. So that's all for Europe, but South America, we mentioned them briefly, and really the South America, there's been now a separation between the top four teams and the rest of the group. Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, and Chile are now at least five points clear of Uruguay in fifth place. So looks like those four countries are going to go in, but really the battle is for fifth place, Uruguay, Venezuela, and we can't forget about Peru, because Peru plays Uruguay and Venezuela in their next two matches, so the Peruvians certainly could make a move if they could get a couple of victories.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got your big games in Barranquilla with Colombia in second spot against Ecuador in the third spot, and then an interesting one with Chile, you know, and that situation there. They're playing Venezuela, who I mentioned earlier, I'd really like to see them go through, but it could well be with that fifth spot. I think the real battle will be for that fifth and final, you know, the playoff spots. Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, Chile, I think I would certainly put my money on. And Uruguay, who we know can produce at the world stage, but as I say, it's going to be a very tight battle there with Venezuela.
And, of course, with the World Cup being in South America, first time since 1978, it's going to be South America's World Cup. I mean, they want to get as many teams in as possible, but we've been left, I guess, the most interesting for last, and that is Africa, as African group play will end this coming weekend, and boy, there's some matchups between numbers 1 and 2 in each group that we have to win the group in Africa to get to the final knockout stage. So you mentioned Cape Verde. They have to play Tunisia. If Cape Verde wins, they will go through. Otherwise, Tunisia will go through. But Group A, South Africa, was handed a lifeline with the illegal players in that group. So they still have a chance against, if they can get a result on the weekend.
Yeah, certainly Ethiopia need the win at Central African Republic. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, you go down, and you're so right that, you know, yes, some teams have already qualified from some of the groups, but when you get a situation the David and Goliath, the Cape Verde Islands against Tunisia, and you've got several other key games. Cote d'Ivoire, we know, are through in Group C. Then Group D, you know, the big game in Kumasi with Ghana needing only a tie against Zambia to go through, and you expect the Black Stars. And there's several people in the Rochester area, Joe, that you know from your days at the Lancers,
sure,
that will be following the Ghana game very closely, a certain Mr. Odoi.
Yes, that's for sure.
And several others, of course, that played with distinction for the Rochester Lancers over the years.
Exactly.
That's right. I really
think, Dick, that based upon what we just been talking about, the world scene of soccer, I mean, for the naysayer that, you know, they talk about the other sports that they claim to have a championship and this and that, you know, they should be aware what really soccer is all about. That it's the competition based on a worldwide country, small country, big countries, and you know, I wish that the naysayer would understand that.
Absolutely,
it's going to be, as I say, very interesting. And with following your groups, Andrew, you were down at Group E, and I think, to my mind, Congo could just edge out Burkina Faso. An easier game at Niger. But then in Group F, we talk about the big teams in African football, of course, and Nigeria are always mentioned in that breath, and they've got a big game in Calabar. But again, they need only a tie to edge out Malawi, and I can certainly see that happening. And then I'm sure that both you and Joe are proud about the Egyptian situation. And why is that?
Bob Bradley, the United States coach, leading Egypt. They are undefeated. They're into the knockout stage. Algeria is also into the knockout stage in Group H. And Group I, Cameroon and Libya will face each other, Cameroon only needing a draw. Certainly with Mr. Eto'o will be maybe a big factor in that match, the new signing from Chelsea for Chelsea. And then Senegal and Uganda play each other in Group J. So, boy, it's all going to happen this weekend in Africa, and it's going to be get out your globes, get out your atlases to know where all these countries are located. It's a great geography learning experience for these African countries.
It really is, isn't it? You know, when you look at schools and geography, and no better example than using a World Cup qualifying tournament to find out where countries are around the world. And certainly I'm looking forward to seeing African teams playing in South America, because we saw what could have happened, you know, that drama with Ghana and Uruguay in the last World Cup. And it won't be too long before we see an African country, I think, in the Final Four, and who knows. But it's certainly featuring some excellent games over, you know, the upcoming week. And I can't wait to see the results and hopefully to see some of the games.
Well, when we're back on live on our next show on the 9th, we will certainly talk about the matches, what happened in Africa, what's coming up with matches on the 10th, the big matches in Europe and in South America as well. So, Dick, thanks so much for being on the show tonight, and hope you had a great holiday.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Dick.
Thank you, Dick, and have a good day.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll be joined by the former GM of the Rochester Rhinos, now Senior Director of the USL Pro League and the MASL, Chris Economides, next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. On WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
WYSL, Avon Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Lancers would like to thank all of their fans for backing and cheering on the team during this past regular season. Because of all your support, the Lancers led the MISL in attendance this season. Season tickets for the 2013-2014 campaign are now on sale, with all seats in the house priced at $130 each. Get your tickets through RochesterLancers.com or call 872-KICK. The Lancers will be back for more exciting indoor soccer action this coming fall.
Your family's growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home built to suit your style and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber homes are in communities with excellent schools, parks, and all the conveniences your family needs. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta or at Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today. 247-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $129,900. Faber Homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Insurance companies do their best to reward safe drivers with savings. But do they really know how you drive every day? And can they reward you for it? The answer is yes. Introducing DriveWise from Allstate, an amazing little device that simply plugs in under your dash, collects driving data from your car, and gets you the savings you truly deserve.
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
DriveWise from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Back here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni in our special Labor Day show. And as we promised a few weeks ago, we have back with us the Senior Director of the USL Pro League and the Major Indoor Soccer League, Chris Economides. And Chris's appearance brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria. Over 25 locations, but one number to call, 234-5555, or go to salvatores.com. Chris, thanks for coming back on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Salvatore's, the best pizza in Rochester. All right.
You could say that again.
It's, Salvatore's, the best pizza in Rochester.
Yeah, Salvatore. When you buy pizza, buy Salvatore.
That's right.
Yeah. Chris, so good to hear you and have you on our Soccer Kick of the Grass show. I feel Andrew and I mean, I got to compliment Andrew because he does a great job on the on this program. And but I also got to compliment you on all that you have achieved in soccer so far.
Well, you know what, Joe? It's been great. I mean, you know, this is not a job for me. You know, this is a passion. I've been fortunate enough, obviously, you know, there with the Rhinos early on. You know, the times that we had there, I wouldn't trade for anything. And been fortunate enough to be able to, you know, to come to Tampa now, so I'm very, very lucky to be able to do something that I love.
Chris, that, you know, I labor with the fact that Andrew tells me that sometimes I ask a pointed question, and and I look at the outdoor game, you know, the men's game right now. You know, the Rhinos were the cream of the crop. You know, we were scheduled to go to MLS. We had so many hopes. We built a new stadium. We did all the things that needed to be done to move on. And now look where we are. I would like you to give us, since you were one of the, you know, you were one of the beginner. You were one of the guy with the idea. You recruited all the rest of the people, and you brought your idea to fruition. Tell us a little bit your view on what happened.
Well, again, I think we had something very special there in Rochester. You know, I mean, it's not apples to apples. It's a different day and age now. You know, there's a lot of, you know, the economic climate, you know, the local climate there in Rochester. You know, when we started the Rhinos franchise, to be honest with you, it was even beyond our wildest expectations. You know, I mean, we had hoped, you know, to rekindle the passion, you know, that the city had for the Lancers, you know, back in your day, Joe, and I think we accomplished that. And again, it was beyond our wildest expectations. You know, so then we sort of rode that high for a while, and, you know, we had some success both on and off the field. And, yeah, you know, there were some opportunities that were available to us. You know, but being, you know, brutally honest, you know, we never really had the substantial financial backing, you know, that you would need. You know, I mean, Steve, Frank, and myself were obviously very, very well-intentioned, and, you know, more so Steve and Frank than myself in terms of financial wherewithal. But we never had that, you know, that one key person that you know, that could go in there, you know, like a Lamar Hunt or a Phil Anschutz or, you know, somebody of that stature that could come in and really stabilize everything and have everything that we need financially for the thing to move forward. So I think, you know, that more than anything, you know, when we had our opportunity to go to MLS was lacking. And then obviously since then, I mean, things have, you know, changed dramatically. Major League Soccer has become, you know, a mainstream sport in this country now. I mean, now the franchise values, I believe New York just paid, you know, $100 million to join Major League Soccer. So, I mean, I think, you know, if there's anything possible for the future for Rochester, I mean, it's going to take somebody, again, of that stature who's going to be able to come in, who would believe in the city, who would believe, you know, that, you know, that the, obviously there's a stadium there, so I mean that's, you know, that's a key element from MLS's perspective. But, and you know what, the Clarks do a tremendous job there. You know, Mr. Clark and Rob and Pat Erkely, you know, they've come in and followed in our footsteps, you know, dramatically well. They do a tremendous job. It's still a marquee franchise, you know, within soccer circles in this country. It's still, you know, spoken very, very highly from all soccer circles. But again, you know, coming back full circle to what I'm saying here, I think what we had was something very special. But again, it's just different time, different parameters right now.
Well, Chris, not that I want to disagree with Joe, but of course I never disagree with Joe. Right, sure. I still think that Rochester has a chance for an MLS franchise, and the reason I say that is because I still think there's a chance down the road where we could see promotion and relegation in U.S. soccer. I think maybe 10 years from now, but who knows. But now with the affiliation with the USL and MLS, I think we're moving toward the next step of maybe an MLS 2 sometime down the road, where maybe there would be a chance for a second division team like the Rhinos or a Orlando or a Charleston or a Richmond to win that league and have a chance to play in the top flight, just like it is everywhere else in the world. I mean, one of my teams I like to follow is Hull City in England. I mean, talk about a franchise, a tiny little franchise in a relatively small city, and they're doing their second stint now in the Premiership because they managed to work their way through and win the lower league. So with the new affiliation now with the USL and MLS, do you think that might be something that may happen, you know, maybe a decade from now, but still in our lifetime?
You know what, Andrew, I've learned to never say never, you know, especially as it pertains to sports. I highly doubt that you'll ever see some sort of promotion relegation, to be perfectly candid. You know, MLS being a single entity that it is, you know, with franchise fees now reaching, you know, $100 million, I don't see them, you know, bypassing or allowing teams into their league without certain franchise fees. Now, again, if there's certain parameters that are built in along with the franchise fees, and again, it's not just a matter of being able to, you know, to have a franchise fee. It's about, you know, market size. It's about, you know, viability. It's TV. It's a whole host of parameters. But hey, you know, I you know, going back to your comment about an MLS too, I think with you know, we've got a great relationship with Major League Soccer. You know, we've built a partnership with them, and I fully expect the partnership's gonna grow as the years go on. You know, we just formed our partnership last year, and we fully expect it to, you know, to grow and expand from affiliations, from potential MLS, you know, owned markets, you know, that are in the league now. So again, I mean, the sky is the limit.
Well, you know, Chris, just a follow up on what you just said. You know, a second division, you know, MLS second division or the US Pro's second division, you know, the affiliation is there. As the movement, maybe not a promotion relegation, as Andrew's hoping, but, you know, the format is already there. And you may not see promotion relegation, but you see the movement of play, the development of players as an aggregate between the two leagues. And I noticed, and just let me just follow up with my question so you can answer. In the future, do you see where MLS is going to give and support more players into our league?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you've seen the beginning of that process this year, Joe. You know, when you see the affiliations with, you know, with the Rhinos in New England, with Richmond in D.C., with Orlando and Sporting Kansas City, with Philadelphia and Harrisburg, I think you're seeing the first remnants of that. I think, well, you know, absolutely. I see, you know, that being taken to a much higher level. I see that, you know, how it's done throughout other sports in this country, with other affiliated leagues and with other, you know, leagues beneath major, you know, major league sports, having those types of partnerships and affiliations, absolutely. And you know, and it's taken, you know, 14, 15 years, you know, for this to transpire. And I'll give you a little bit of history. I know that, you know, when we were in Rochester, you know, we had no interest in being in anybody's perceived farm team. I think now with how things have materialized, all the cities, you know, that have had MLS aspirations, you know, the Montreals, the Seattles, the Vancouvers, you know, the Torontos, they're all in Major League Soccer. So now I think now there's a clear definition of the soccer landscape. So I definitely see, you know, this partnership and the structure of American soccer a lot clearer now than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Certainly. And we don't want to forget Portland, because Portland certainly...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're just the, you know, yeah, the attendance leader, or not the attendance leader, but yeah, I mean...
They're close Portland, to
yeah,
it.
I mean, there's a whole host of... and you know what? Orlando could be very soon to follow that also. So, I mean, so we're actually very, very proud of that. And we, you know, we point that out to potential markets coming to our league that, you know, if they do have MLS aspirations, this is the pathway to go.
Well, one of the things that made us, you know, a prospect for MLS was at that time was the, you know, the players that we had, the crowds that we attracted. And, you know, we were labeled to be one of the best managed franchise, minor league franchise in the United States. People copied the model that you guys had. I mean, newspaper, not only in Rochester, but a magazine wrote about the format. And, you know, we were there. And, you know, and that's where, now going back, and you know how fickle the fans are in Rochester. They understand soccer, you know, so they want a winner. And so far we haven't been, at least not because of trying, but because of the caliber of players that we had. It isn't coaching. It's who the players really are, that at the end of the day, whether they're going to be able to produce or not. So I feel bad because Pat's really trying to do a good job, and Mr. Clark the same thing. But at the end of the day, there is the players that play the game, their passion, their ability that counts.
Well, you know, I'll go back to that a little bit, Joe. I mean, let's be candid here. We had an MLS team there. You know, I mean, I'm not getting on my high horse here.
True.
The caliber of players that we had during that time frame, and I can rattle off, you know, the Yari Allnuts, the Pat Onstedt, the Darren Tillies, the Dougie Millers, the Scotty Schweitzers, the Mali Waltons, the Craig Demons, the Tim Hardys, the Mike Kerms, the Nate Thalicons, all those guys, you know, that was an MLS team we had there. So it's not fair to, you know, to sort of categorize how it was then to how it is now. You know, what we had there was something that was very, very special, was very, very unique. But in fairness to what's going on there now, I think the roster that the Rams have put together has been a very, very good roster. But again, I think we're a little bit spoiled back in that point in time. And all those players that I just mentioned, guys, they had options to go to MLS. You know, we were very fortunate, you know, through their ability to play indoor and outdoor for how special the city actually was from a media perspective, from an overall perspective. They felt that they were already in Major League Soccer playing in Rochester. So, again, it was a very special point in time, and I think that the current Rhinos ownership, Pat's doing a tremendous job. I think we'll see those days again.
Well, it's going to be certainly interesting what happens next year with the league. We're going to be having two new teams, Sacramento Republic. My Uncle Dave is very excited. He lives in Sacramento. He said the city is abuzz for this team and also maybe to get an MLS team. And Oklahoma City will be in the league next year. But the question, Chris, but I know we have a ring out of time here, but do you think there are going to be MLS reserve teams in total in the league next year?
You know what, Andy, that's a great question. And when you touch upon those two franchises, first of all, I think with Sacramento, you know, they just hired Preki out there. So that's going to be entertaining just from the pure fact that they've hired Preki. But again, all kidding aside, that's going to be a great franchise. I think the franchise in Oklahoma City is going to be a model franchise. Organizationally, Mr. Funk's group is going to be, you know, top-notch, top to bottom. So we're looking forward to both those franchises. I fully expect, you know, that we'll see actual MLS reserve teams in our league next year.
Wow.
I know that there's been talk of that. I know that, as things progress, that's going to be part of the model. So, we took huge steps last year, and I think we fully expect to have bigger and better things this year.
Well, because I know we were supposed to talk about the MISL. We'll have to have you back on again, maybe in a little while, just before the MISL season starts, to talk about that. But we're certainly looking forward to this relationship with Rochester, having, you know, the two teams in the USL structure, the Rhinos and the Lancers. So, again, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We'll definitely have you on again in a short period of time, and we'll turn our focus indoors once the outdoor season is finished up here in America.
Well, thanks for having me on so much, Andrew. We got a couple of great semifinals that by the time the show airs next week, we'll know who's in the final. But expect a great final because we got four teams that are very equally aligned so far, and it should be a great final.
Well, Chris, thanks so much. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again in not too distant future.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks, Joe. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Chris Economides is here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll have the U.S. Soccer Report with Michael Lewis right here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda. Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming. Peace and love since 1992.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
On telephone, I believe in America, and my daughter is the light of my life. But she weeps because she's so lonely. I said to my wife, for justice, we must go to Don Telephone.
Buonasera, buonasera. We know each other for years, and this is the first time you come to me for help.
What do you want of me? I'll give you anything you want.
You ever needed a friend like me? And now you come to me and say, Don Telephone, you must give me justice. You don't even call me the mob father. But I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, huh? Then you call LiveWire at 325-0000.
What shall I pay you?
You don't pay anything at all because it's completely free. And all your daughter has to do is call 325-0000 and she will weep no more. I ask nothing of you, Bonacera, but someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to do a service for me in return.
Mom, father, you understand everything.
When have I ever refused an accommodation? But you must be over 18.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor. At 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
And our U.S. Soccer Domestic Report with Michael Lewis is brought to you by Salins, premium quality meat products since 1869. Get them at your favorite local food store. Michael, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you today?
Oh, doing very well. Looking forward to this weekend and the World Cup qualifying in the United States against Costa Rica. And I can make one prediction I know for sure will come true in that match.
United States is going to win.
No, it's not going to snow.
Oh, jeez.
I
think we can. I'll bet the farm on that one if I had a farm. But, Mike, obviously this is the match the United States and Costa Rica have been waiting for, the top two teams in CONCACAF, and Costa Rica certainly has a lot of incentive after the Snow Bowl in Denver back in March, and a match they really would, if they win, they go to first place in the group and pretty much lock up the spot in the World Cup again. I think, again, as you mentioned in the past, a big surprise that Costa Rica is in this position right now.
Yes, like I said, you know, before the hexagonal began in February, I did not have them as the top three or even top four teams, but that's why they play the games, and they don't listen to what sports writers predict before a World Cup qualifying tournament or a season for that matter. Saying that, they have played well when they've had to. They've played very well at home and accrued points on the road, a point in Mexico. But then again, I guess everyone does that these days. But seriously, they have played well. They have a good core of players. Brian Ruiz. You've got Alvaro Solario, who plays on Real Salt Lake. and just a bunch of young up-and-coming players. And let's face it, this is not a total surprise. Costa Rica has played in three other World Cups, the 1990, 2002, and 2006. So for a country, and I don't have their population in front of me, but I think it's 4 or 5 million, that's an incredible accomplishment, even in CONCACAF.
Absolutely. And I'm actually looking that up right now as we speak, what the population of Costa Rica is. But, Michael, tell us about the atmosphere in Costa Rica. What is it going to be like where the United States is going to be playing?
Well, that's a good and interesting question, because usually the teams have played at the Saprissa Stadium. But now that the national stadium has been rebuilt through millions of dollars from the Chinese, and they even brought in workers to build it, different type of atmosphere. And I really can't tell you what it would be like at National Stadium. I'll tell you this, at Saprissa, one of the most intimidating places I think a team could play in, particularly for an American side, because the fans are right on top of you. They are not very friendly to the gringos from the north. And as it turns out, where the ultras sit behind one of the nets, behind one of the goals, that's where the visiting locker room is. And before the game, they make a lot of noise. They hit the ground a lot, rumbling to intimidate the opposition. And the reason why I know that is Landon Donovan told me about it, and he said he's never been in a situation like that. And he's been in a lot of situations. Saying that, National Stadium, from what I've heard from some friends who have been down there, beautiful stadium, but doesn't have the same atmosphere as Saprissa. And one reason is there's a track around it, and that keeps the fans away. That doesn't mean they're going to try and, you know, not to intimidate the opposition, but I think that factor is not as great this time. Saying that, and I'm going to be leaving for Costa Rica in a while, I'm looking forward to the game, because any atmosphere, any type of World Cup qualifying match in Central America is always a memorable one, no matter what the result is.
I didn't realize you were going to be going down there. So you'd be able to give us a first-hand report on our next show then.
I hope to, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But Joe, I tell you,
I envy you, Mike. I mean, I wish I was, you know, I go back to the days that we played in Guatemala. And I remember that we were the favorite until we played the Guatemala team, and then we became the Gringos. And let me tell you, that was a scary situation at that time. We played Nacional. But you know, we had a great time in Guatemala. We played against Cruz Azul. We played against a team from Costa Rica. I can't say anything bad about their trip, except that we stayed in a compound, and at nighttime nobody, you can't go out.
Well, speaking of nighttime, it's actually going to be a night. It's a late night start. It's a 10 o'clock p.m. kickoff on the East Coast, I believe. So, the heat may not be as much of a factor as it would be if the game was played a little bit earlier in the day.
Doesn't help my deadline for Newsday, the paper I'll be writing for. I'll say this about this is like a Jekyll and Hyde situation. Costa Rican people are great. I like I said, I've been down there several times. They've treated me well. But once you get close to the stadium, and this is just from my experience going to Saprissa, I was in the media bus following the U.S. national team bus on the way to a World Cup qualifier in May or June 2009. The fans were, I'm trying to think of the right word. They were showing us the sky with one of their fingers, the U.S. team's bus. And, again, intimidation more than anything else. I bet you if you you saw them after the game, they would treat you very, very well. But again, this was, you know, this is their life down there. You know, football, right. Soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, is their life in Central America.
Mike, now let's talk about the game now. You know, Klinsmann and people that he has called to camp. I think that you know, the United States, even though they're in a good position, I think that they're going to have a hard game, because you know, Costa Rica is going to be there, you know, to be to for revenge. What is your outlook on that?
I think any game in Costa Rica, I don't care where it's being played, any international game, U.S. versus the Chicos, is going to be a difficult game. Saying that, I just got this gut feeling that the U.S. is going to manage a tie this time. I think because of the success the team has shown during World Cup qualifying in June, I think that the Belgium and the U.S. its collective heads in an international friendly, the U.S. then bounced back with a victory over Germany, and then came the three consecutive qualifying wins, and then the Gold Cup success, which, albeit it was with another team in a different competition. I think the U.S., though, has gotten more confidence. I'm not going to say cocky, because hopefully someone has told them the history a bit about the U.S. and Costa Rica through the years on how difficult it is to play there. It's definitely not going to be a cakewalk by any means. But I just got this, again, gut feeling that the U.S. is going to come away with a point. And if I'm wrong, so be it. I've been wrong before, but this just, again, a gut feeling.
Well, of course, Landon Donovan, I think, will play a big role in this match. And his experience playing down in Costa Rica, I think, is going to be a big help. But the U.S. has run off 12 straight victories. They have not lost in a very long time. And you wonder if there's a tie and we're late in the match, what would Jurgen Klinsmann do? I mean, if the U.S. wins this match, they would need a draw against Mexico and they would be in the World Cup. So, what do you think?
I'll tell you this. I think Jurgen Klinsmann could care less about how long a winning streak is. I think if it was a draw, whether it was scoreless, 1-1, 2-2 late in the match, I think he'd start, as they say, circle the wagons and try to get out of there with a point. Because I'll tell you this, that would be considered a victory. And I think you have to look at it, put it into the context at the time. That would be a big, big deal. So a win would be great, no doubt about it. But a draw, I would consider to be a victory too. And it's obviously not 3 points, but to a place where the U.S. has not tied since 1985. And I just left Rochester then. That's how long ago it was. I just left Rochester several months prior to work for the Westchester Rockland newspaper. So yeah, that's how long ago. It's been almost 30 years. So that would be an historic point.
It certainly would. And we don't want to forget about the other two matches in this group. And, boy, what a huge match is at the Azteca. Mexico, who is standing in third place against Honduras in fourth place. Mexico, yet the only team not to lose, but yet they only have one victory and five draws. And at home, I don't believe they have scored a goal at home yet. So Honduras has a real opportunity. If they can manage to hold Mexico to a point, they are going to put themselves in a good position, because Mexico next match is in the United States.
No, definitely, and that would definitely put Jose Manuel de la Torre, the Mexico coach, further on the hot seat. I still think he should have been replaced way back before the June matches, but and they weren't going to do it right afterwards, because right after the three qualifiers back then, Mexico had to go to the Confederations Cup, and you can't put a new national team coach in charge right before a tournament like that. Saying that, Honduras, I think, might be smelling some blood. It'll be interesting to see what sort of tactics De La Torre deploys, and whether or not, someone like Chicharito, Javier Hernandez can put a couple away early on. In the first time they met, Mexico had a 2-0 lead early on before they faded, and they wound up with a draw, 2-2. It was in Honduras, and it was hot that day. The heat got to Mexico. And you might say, gee, how could the heat get to a team like Mexico? You have to remember, many of those Mexican players do play in Europe, and they might be used to the heat in a general way, but they're coming from the cold of winter in Europe. So I think, Mexico, the pressure is much more on Mexico than Honduras. If Mexico doesn't get a win there, in really bad, bad shape. I know you might say they still might be in third place, but Mexican public, they demand a win every time. And these ties have probably gone past the boiling point with a lot of those supporters.
Absolutely, and because we can't forget Panama. They host Jamaica. If Panama wins and Mexico-Honduras ends in a draw, Panama could conceivably move into that third spot if they get a big enough victory. So it is really still all up for grabs in CONCACAF, and it just makes it very exciting. And sure, for you as covering CONCACAF for Tropigol and for that website that you own, it just makes it more exciting for you and a lot to write about.
There's always something to write about when it comes to World Cup qualifying. Some great storylines. You know, someone asked me, well, when I'm covering a Red Bulls game, what am I rooting for? And I said, I'm rooting for the story. And with, usually in a CONCACAF hexagonal, you can't go wrong. There's always seemed to be a good story, whether it's the snowball or controversy or something with Mexico. I mean, even if Mexico was, you know, what, 6-0 right now, there would be something controversial to write about Mexico because that's the nature of the beast down there. You know, but I enjoy it. It's an intriguing, I'm talking about CONCACAF, writing about it. It's an intriguing subject because when you go down to the Caribbean and Central America, it is unlike what we have it here. It's a much bigger deal than here in the States. Saying that, it's grown tremendously over the last 30, 40 years, particularly since the U.S. reached the World Cup and the advent of MLS and the growth of soccer in general, but it's still not, it just grips many a nation. And even with Jamaica, it's still a big deal, even if they are at the bottom of the hexagonal.
Mike, I just want to compliment you because, you know, I follow Italian soccer, I follow Italian soccer, of course, and I read a lot of the story and I read, you know, the writers. And you follow in the same mode that they do because they talk, you know, when they describe the game, they really know who did what. What did they talk about the weather, they talk about the atmosphere, they talk about everything that you talked about right now. So it's a great thing, and my compliment to you because I like your remark that you made that. Who you're rooting for? You're rooting for a good story to write, and that's a journalist in you.
Definitely, I think you know. Even when I covered the Lancers, sometimes a better story if they lost. Sometimes it was if they won, and believe it or not, once in a while it was even if they tied, just because it was a big goal at the end of the game, which made them feel like they had won. And it's the same thing with the Red Bulls, the Cosmos, Long Island Rough Riders, or any other sports team for that matter, the Rochester Americans. You know, I'm looking for a great story to tell. Sometimes it's a lot more difficult than other days. Sometimes the players don't listen to what I want to see or hear, but a lot of things, there are a lot of factors that are outside of a writer's control, but I enjoy writing about it and trying to make it sound coherent, and thank you very much for your kind words.
Well, Michael, we'll certainly be looking forward to hearing your report on this huge U.S. Costa Rica match, and then next Monday, of course, we'll be previewing the U.S. versus Mexico. It's a pretty big match, I think. It's maybe some people will be interested in that one. But Michael, thanks so much, and we'll have a safe trip to Costa Rica, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay. Ciao, Mike.
Michael Lewis here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass, and that's going to do it for our Labor Day show. I want to thank Michael. I want to thank Chris Economides, of course, and Dick Howard for helping us out on our Labor Day show. We'll be back live next Monday night with all the latest news in soccer, both Rochester, United States, and around the world. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni, Dick Howard, and Michael Lewis, and Bob D'Angelo down at WYSL. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Say goodnight, Joe.
One and out there.
Have a good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Livewire, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.